Let's pray together. God, our Father, we are again very thankful that you have given us this Sunday morning, this opportunity again to hear what you are saying to the church, what you're saying to your people. We bless your name for certainly, God, you are worthy of all of our praise, all of our adoration, and all of our attention. You're the God of everything. And Lord, what can we deny you? What can we hold back from you? When we consider how you have given yourself to us, we bless you and we call you Father. And we pray, God, again that you would open our eyes and our ears, and Lord, help us to see what we have not seen before, to hear what we've not heard before. And even, Lord, those things that we have seen and heard, let them be refreshing to us, that we would run further now and faster, that we would see that others know and hear what you are saying to the church. Please, God, send your people, and they would come up together. We cannot do it, Lord. We need you to do it, and we'll do it with you. But, Lord, such as would be saved, oh, God, fill this place with eagerness. Those who are willing to cry out, Lord, have mercy, but draw me nearer. We pray, God, these prayers in love and by faith, for we are concerned about the kingdom, and we desire, Lord, that your will be done, even among this people, that we would know and declare that Jesus is Lord. Help us, Father, we pray, for our intentions are pure, that you be glorified. We want to give honor to your name. And Lord, we say thank you. Forgive us of our sins. We do pray and have mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The interest for us is not selfish. The interest for us is not selfish. Write that down. I want you to remember that for as long as you live. The interest for us is not selfish. And the reason I want you to remember that is so that you don't become distracted, you don't become frustrated, you don't become unnecessarily tired thinking that your labor in the Lord is in vain if you don't get what you set out to get for him. All of us have been called by God to do something tremendous for the kingdom. You don't have to go it alone, but you got to go on your part. But your interest is not selfish. People look at the church, and about 75% of what they think about us is misinformation. It's not altogether true. And one of the things that we can encourage ourselves with is to always say to ourselves, it ain't that bad. Our desire for spiritual foundations and to grow in the Lord is not the hardest thing you'll do, but it's going to take something out of you. And part of what we've been talking about, and I thought about it over and over again every time I put something else into the lesson. I don't want none of us to think that we're trying to create an elitist church or make ourselves to be an elitist people by talking a lot about separation. But everything, in order to get the best of it, has to be separated. How many of you ever been in the store? Well, that's always a crazy question because I'm sure all of you have been in the store. Let's do it this way. When you've been in the store, if you go to certain products, you'll notice they have categories, good, better, and best. It's the same product, but the quality levels are different. And that's really how people are. There are some good people, some better people, and some who are kind of the best. We know that our responsibility and our response to all of humanity is that Jesus is Lord, and there's none like him. But in order for us to become better Christians or the best Christians, we got to kind of separate. All churches should be glorious churches to the glory of God. All churches, all of God's people should have a desire to give back to God excellence. Doesn't always happen, but that should be our. And how many of you have ever started out something with the intent to do the very best you could do? And between the time you start and the time you finish, you settle. You know, some of us have set out to, if it's no more than make a pair of britches or bake a cake or fix a shutter or you know, hang a screen door. I mean, you don't start out saying, well, I'm just going to stick this up here and I'm done. You know, you really kind of follow the plan. You know, we bought stuff and we tried to read those directions. And about three quarters of the way through, we say, I know what to do. And it turns out, you say, well, okay, that's all right. You know, it didn't fall down. But in the Christian church, this cannot happen to us. And that is what we've got to overcome. We're going to have to come to the conclusion that until God is satisfied, I'm not done. Until I have achieved that which he has intended in my life. Remember, he said, I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans that are tremendous. They are no plan of God was ever conceived by God in mediocrity or to be average. That's why when the father looked down and said, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. You know, well pleased is a high level. So what we have to recognize is that when we're talking about separation, it's not to be mean-spirited or to try to run folk off. We're trying to draw folk in. We're trying to say, listen, this is the real life that you have in Christ Jesus. Remember, even the Bible said that your real life is hidden. So what do you have to do for a hidden thing? You got to find it. You got to look for it. And it takes an effort. How many of you have ever spent a whole day looking for something? Or at least half a day or a few hours because it, why? It matters. I want to find it. So if our real lives are hidden, we got to look for them. So Paul says, everybody in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to read a little bit of it. I mean, well, there's a length and I'm going to walk through it because this is so critical. When I went back and looked at it, I said, you know, last time I got in this area, I kind of skipped over some things. And I really want this to come to life today, okay? The first thing he says, and this is what I had to go back and look at. He says, as God's partners. That I don't know how I missed that. Paul is saying to the church, we're with God. We're partners. You know, I know Deacon Campbell and Deacon Walker, God bless them, are business owners. And I know Deacon Walker and Mrs. Walker and Deacon Campbell has his son. But partners kind of want the same thing for the good of the overall. You know, when partners don't agree, what happens? They split. Companies are either destroyed or new companies are formed because there's a difference of opinion, a difference of focus, a difference in strategies or whatever the case may be. But Paul says, brothers and sisters, we are God's partners. In order to be an effective partner, you got to know what the other one's thinking. You got to know what the other. That's why God calls us to these meetings. To go over strategies again and talk about that. That's why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. People misunderstand that text. That text is so large, but one of the key ingredients of that text is that we can come again and go over the strategies. We can come again and say, are we on point? Is there something else we need to do? How many of you ever planned an event? And you had to go to those little stages where you say, okay, we got this, we got the tent, we got the water, we got that. And you keep meeting until you say, okay, I think we're ready. When we were in the military, one of the things they taught us, which is maybe a play on words, but it makes sense, is that you never say you're ready for inspection. You say you're prepared for inspection. In other words, you've done all you know how to do, but you don't know if you're ready until the inspector comes. And what one of the things we learned in the military was it depends on who's inspecting. It depends on the level of their personal investment as to how they look at things. The first sergeant may come out and inspect and say, good, good, good. Everything's top notch. The commander may come out and say, what in the world? And the first sergeant says, well, wait a minute, sir. No, that's not what I want. So we go back. In the military, we play this game called hurry up and wait. And we play this game called, okay, who's really looking? Because it depends on who's looking as to whether or not you are proficient in a thing. So in the Christian church, let's not forget who's looking. It ain't up to the pastor. See, I mentioned this Sunday, and I want to mention it again because I'm the pastor, and I need to deal with stuff like this sometime. Folk are getting mad at me about trying to make this church better and the way I'm going about it, but God is looking. You can blow me off if you want to. God's still looking. Ain't no need to get an attitude with the leadership. Ain't no need to run in somewhere else because God's still looking. No matter where you go, God's still looking. And if you were a bum here, you're going to be a bum there. Amen. Y'all ever read Philemon? Never read that book? It's an interesting story. Read it. Paul appeals on behalf of a slave and says, listen, take him back. He's getting better. Onesimus, I need you to really think about this thing. Because God is looking. You know what Jesus says? That we must never forget about this partnership. I would that no man would perish. You know what Paul says about perishing? One of the key ingredients of perishing? Y'all know what it is. The lack of knowledge. It's not because you're not handsome or got money or because you don't have the right. He says one of the key ingredients to a perishing people is the lack of knowledge. Even Solomon says it. So how can we give up so great an opportunity? And that's why as partners, we need to make sure we're spiritually aligned with the kingdom desires. When God told us to go and make more, he was serious. He didn't say at your convenience or when it gets easier or if they really willing. He said, you go make more. And so Paul said, listen, as God's partners, we need to make sure that we're on the agenda of the kingdom. Those of you who work in places, you know what it's like when half of the workforce is key and the other half of the workforce is not key. You know what it's like when half of the workforce is committed and striving and the other half of the work. It's worse when it's one third of the workforce and one third. It gets worse. So that's why when we're singing in the choir, we need to be on the agenda. When we're ushering, we need to be on the agenda. When we're ministering, we need to be on the agenda. We've got to get away from the foolishness of what people say they want and what they say they don't want and what people say they like and what they don't like and say, listen, this is the will of God concerning you, that you live in purity and wholesomeness and spiritualness. And it's a list. We're going to get to it. He said, because anything other than that, we are disobedient to the kingdom. What are the worst words you can hear on a job? The boss needs to see you. Mr. Smith wants to see you. What? Especially when you know you've been dragging. And you know. And see, this is again, this is my pastoral moment. Stop being influenced by folk who know they dragging and want to drag you. Don't hear it. Just tell them, ain't no need. You can't even say that to me. And we got to be very strong because we're God's partners. Again, the only, I've said this before, and sometimes people look at me funny when I say it, Melvin, but the only reason any of us know each other is because of the kingdom. I had never been to Lynchburg in my life till God brought me here. And wouldn't have thought of a reason to come. There's nothing here that I can think of that would have brought me from Petersburg. I mean, what's in Lynchburg? There's no amusement park. Ain't no King's Dominion here. The things I like, ain't none of the things I like. Ain't no football team here. I don't think I'd have. God said, Mitchell, pack up your family. Here's your new assignment. My wife had to leave her job. My children had to get out of school. I had to leave the state police. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So because we have this common thing that God has put us in as partners, in the words of my friend Jeffrey Reed, let's do the doggone thing. Let's stay focused on what's really important, and that is that no man would perish, and that we lift up and magnify the name of Jesus, and that we work as partners. What happens when a partnership ain't working? We dissolve it. Here's the problem. That's a good problem to have if you're going to have one. You can't leave God. You can't separate from God. You can't stop being God's minister because you get an attitude. You can't stop being God's servant because you don't have a light for this one or that. He said, I called you. I know what I put in you. I know who you are. Come out from behind that sycamore tree. I'm God. What are you doing? He looked at Elijah and said, get up, man of God. What are you doing? Sitting here brooding over a person. Jezebel ain't nobody. I'm God. How dare you have fear of a woman and disrespect God? So you got to stay in your partnership. Amen. So Paul says, now watch this, and it gets real good. He says, we beg you not to reject the marvelous message of God's great kindness. Watch this. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I help you. Here it is. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Let me tell you something. Whatever difficulties you may face in being separated and becoming stronger in the body of Christ, God's going to help you. Don't reject the aid and assistance of a loving God. Instead of finding a way to get out, go to God and say, Lord, I need you to help me get in. I'm a partner. I don't want to lose my ranking with you. I don't want to miss what you... Listen, there's that song that the choir sang, you know, Lord, whatever you're doing, you know, don't let me miss out on it. You know, kind of, that's my abbreviated version. How does it go? Whatever you're doing in the kingdom... Yeah, that song. Harmony, don't look at me like that's not a song. It is. Where's Stacy at? He'll help us when he get here. But basically, the gist of the song is, Lord, whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. I want to be a part of it. And Paul is saying, listen, don't reject the message. Don't reject this opportunity because you've got an attitude about your own realities. One of the best ways to grow is exposure. Examination. One of the presenters told us at the conference, he used his mother and his wife as an illustration. Both of them had cancer issues. And he said they both had tumors. And those tumors were growing, but they weren't healthy. So they needed to be removed. How can you find it unless you be examined? What does the word say in the Corinthian letter? Let every man examine himself. That's fine. But here's the greater examination. When God looks at us and when God identifies something in us, we cannot say, don't worry about it. Leave that alone. That's just how it is. Who's God's chief physician on earth? His pastors. That's why he gives you pastors. to look at you and say, look here, bro, you need, ain't no need to reject. Listen, most of us, we don't all have it, but most of us have insurance or not, Medicaid, Medicare or something. But we can go to the doctor. I pay that guy to give me his best observation. I get mad when he don't. How many of you ever changed doctors? Why did you change doctors? You weren't satisfied. You said, this bum just taking my money and I don't feel no better. Something got to be. How many of you ever went in and said, no, doc, something got to be wrong. I'm not supposed to feel like this. I can't sleep. I don't have an appetite. I can't stay out in the bathroom. I got a headache. You know, oh, you're fine. I think you take two. I ain't taking two more or nothing. I'm going to bust you upside your head. You better come up with something. Amen. You got to sometimes talk to your doctor for real. I said, look here, man. The co-payment is fine, but you got to come with something better than this. So God said, let me give you pastors. Let me give you shepherds who take care of sheep. Any shepherd who looks at a sheep that's wounded or staggering and does not attend to that sheep is a horrible shepherd. And the Bible says he'll have blood on his hands. I don't intend to have blood on my hands because you don't want me to get closer and examine you and identify stuff. I'm going to look at you wounded and say, oh, you all right? Because you don't want to be bothered. It always hurts when they poke in it. But you know what happens after the hurt? The healing. And see, he said, let me tell you something. As partners, don't reject what we're trying to do. Don't get upset with us because we preach to you and tell you the truth about the kingdom and the truth about yourself in the kingdom. He said, listen, because you've been saved by God who loves you. You have been brought to a place where God can now help you. It is a fool in capital, bold, italic letters that rejects the message of God and God's love to help you. That's crazy. Deranged. Paul said, listen, we're partners. And I don't want to be in a partnership and we don't want the same things. We're not trying to do the same things. We're going to get to that a little later, but I'll give it to you early. He said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Listen, unbelief can be categorized in a lot of ways. Okay? Unbelief will destroy a good partnership. One of the most common excuses written on a divorce decree is that of irreconcilable differences. You know what that means? We just don't believe the same thing anymore. He believes that marriage is hanging out with his friends and drinking and coming in late and doing whatever he wants to do. I believe that marriage is sitting here with me and the kids, rubbing my feet, telling me I'm beautiful again, calling my name. She believes that marriage is going with her girlfriends, getting manicures and pedicures and spending my money and not cooking my dinner. And what happens is we become unreasonable. What does Isaiah say? Come, let's reason together. Isaiah said, I know y'all sinners and reprobates. He said, but I tell you what, as a shepherd, let's reason together. Let's sit down and see which lifestyle makes the most sense. Y'all want to live like renegades and heathens. I'm telling you that God has plans for you. I'm telling you that if you give God your first fruits, you'll never be hungry. I'm telling you that if you lift up and magnify the name of God, the name of your family will go down in history. I'm telling you that if you praise him and adore him, he'll make you lovely and attractive. I'm telling you that if you give him your best, he'll keep you in good health. I'm telling you that if you come to him, he won't reject you. Which one makes more sense? I felt that. Why would you walk away from a reasonable offer? Because it's uncomfortable. Boy, I almost said something. Listen, everything in my life ain't comfortable. I've learned to live with uncomfort. How many of you live in a house where one of you want the temperature on 72 and the other one want it on 75? You just put up with it. Y'all seen that commercial? There's a commercial they got where the guy tried to turn the thermostat and his wife got these booby traps in the house. And he yells, it's just 2 degrees. How many of you been under the covers? Bless you, in love with your wife. Please, I pray this for your wife only. and one of you want to kick the covers off and the other one put the covers on. So you wind up with a bed with all this stuff piled up on this side and you saying, thank you, Lord. Whew, get that sheet off me. The reality is, don't be unreasonable. A good shepherd, it may hurt, but it's going to help. So he said, listen, God wants to help you, though. And watch this. It really takes off. Verse 3, he said, listen, we're trying to live in such a way that no one will be hindered. Watch this now. From finding the Lord by the way we act. And so no one can find fault with the ministry. You know what he's saying? We're not going to compromise. But we're going to be honest enough with you to say, listen, it's our responsibility to live in good confidence, to live in good contentment, to live in good character. He said, so we got to make an effort. That's why you can't look at your pastor and your leaders and say, don't worry about what I do. Are you serious? God names on this stuff. They'd be like riding around in a, cause I don't, y'all haven't changed the name of the company yet, have you? That'd be like riding around in an M.A. Dalton truck, pulling up to the liquor store, buying liquor, and then driving all over the road and running people off the road and then bringing the truck back all beat up. Tell me, it don't matter. They look at M.A. Dalton and say, what kind of company? That's like a CNC cleaning. You go to a place, you're supposed to be CNC cleaning, and you don't clean nothing. The people who you supposed to work for, they come in and find your employee sitting there with a liquor bottle, drunk in a linen closet, and then go, hey, you say, you going to clean up? I'm done. I'm just getting ready to leave. Your name on it. How long you think you're going to stay in business? How many people you think going to want to do contractual work with you when you represent that way? Why do you think the church... Listen, the church does not miss people because of the pastor. The church misses people because of the people. There are more people see y'all than they ever see me. I make it my business now they don't see me. Think about it. You're everywhere. You're at Walden Pond. You're at the school bus barn. You're at Genworth. You're at Bank of the James. You're at the training school. Y'all all over the place. That's a whole lot more advertisement than one poster. He said, listen, we got to make an effort to live in such a way. Listen, this ain't about Brookville. This is about the kingdom. You don't just represent GBC. You represent the kingdom. He said, we got to try, man. And the only way we're going to learn how to live is to learn. And in learning, we give up some of our personal bad behaviors. But you imagine what it'd be like if we had a smoking lounge in the church? Or we had a wet bar? That'd be crazy. I mean, you know, people would say, what kind of church? Now some folk would say, man, y'all church cool. God would not be pleased. That's why when we address issues, we got into this conversation. The preachers did, you know, in the back. Y'all know I was going to back them guys. We're back there talking about abortion. We're back there talking about homosexuality. We're talking about marriage, you know. And the reality is, we don't have no room to negotiate. We're not going to kick anybody out. But we're not going to sit there and go, well, you know, that section, we just, no. We're going to take some of that sway out your hips, homeboy. We like our sister to sway. Come here, dude. I know, Reverend. No, you keep saying that, but I ain't seeing that. It ain't condemning. It's conforming. Imagine if we had, all right, let's look at the picture. God is saying, I created you in my image and my likeness. Which one of them are we going to put Jesus' robe on? No, sir, homeboy, you can't. You can't represent us. We're not going to send you to no conference. We're not going to put you out there on our poster. You're not going to do our commercials. We're going to do you like little Jack Horner, put you in a corner till you get yourself together. How many of you remember when you did bad, your mom said, if you don't go sit over there till you get yourself together. We're not going to condemn them. We're going to love that brother or that sister. When we find out things about people, that's not a reason for us to kill them.
That's the reason for us to help them live. Say, man, I know you're struggling, ain't you? Don't worry about me. I am worried about you. Don't think about the STDs. Don't think about HIV. Don't think about missing the kingdom. And bruh, sis, if you ain't thinking about kingdom, you really fooling yourself. That's why we love everybody. But we're not going to compromise because he'll help us. Bring them to me. That's what he said. He said, bring them to me. All of them. And I'll help them. And that's why we have to understand that our hands are limited. Our primary goal is to get them to Jesus. You stop getting frustrated because you can't fix people. You got enough to do to keep you straight. That's enough right there by itself. My hand goes up first. Amen. It's enough to keep Leroy straight, whichever one I am for that moment. I got split personalities. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just not always the same guy. But I know that. So knowing that gives me an opportunity to discipline myself. When I feel that other guy showing up, I'm like, not right now. Not right now. I went to get my car back yesterday, and them folk down there, good thing the preacher showed up. Because when that man handed me the bill, I said, excuse me? Okay, sir, here you go. And I'm going. But I'm going back Monday. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a little different. But I know I ain't always the same guy. I tell people all the time, being a pastor is my life. It really is. This is it for me, as far as I know. But I also know that there's Leroy that was 12. There's Leroy that was 17. There's Leroy that was 25. There's Sergeant Mitchell. There's Trooper. All them people are right in here. And sometimes one or two of them want to show up. And I have to say, hey, man, not you. Not you right now. You know. And the reality is you're going through the same things. You're a husband sometimes, you're a businessman sometimes, you're owner sometimes. And God help you if somebody meets you and the other guy is at the... Come on now. Deacon Campbell said something to me down at the conference. He said, Pastor, there's another me you don't know. And I'm getting ready to let him out. That's just a reality. I said, okay. We'll just wait and see. So he said, listen, God wants to help you. Now watch this. This is critical. He says, now here it is. He said, in everything we do, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. He said, in everything, now watch this now, in everything we do. What are we doing? We're trying to show that we are true ministers of God. Did you notice? He said, us. That's your, listen, all of you have been given this ministry, this treasure in jars of clay. You have been called. Remember, Peter, we'll get to him down the road. I know it's way down in the notes, but I'm going to give it to you now. He said, listen, we've got to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we have been called. All of us are vocational. And if you're not going to work in your vocation, you will be labeled a failure. If you're no good at banking, they're going to fire you. You're no good at painting because you're the owner. You don't paint nothing. They'll fire you. You fire somebody. Guy come to you and say, I've been painting for 25 years. You say, okay, I'm going to put you on the job. And you go out there and say, what in the world? You ain't no good at this, mate. Maybe you need to look at doing it. How many of you have been told by somebody, maybe you ought to look at doing something else? maybe this just ain't for you. But I'm good at it. No, you think you. Now, that's fine. As a man thinks, so he is. But sometimes you think a lie. A lot of us think lies. Seriously. And exposure, again, helps us. I mean, I think I could do brain surgery, but would you let me work on you? I think I'd make a fine doctor. I think I'd make a fine lawyer. I think I, you know, I mean, there are times, you know, I get in these little places in my head and I think I, that's how I work on things at home. Every man goes through this thing where we think we can be a plumber for a minute. We think we can be a roofer. And we say, oh, I can fix that. I ain't going to call nobody. And we do the best we can, put a whole lot of stuff on it and say, yeah, that, all right. Nobody going to see that. That'll work. And honey, it's still leaking. No, it ain't. That come from somewhere else. Get back up there. Okay, let me put some more there. No. But the reality is, he said, listen, you got to walk worthy. That's what Paul is saying. Paul said, listen, we got to work hard. And everything we do, we got to make sure that we uphold this ministry. That God be glorified. It ain't just my job to uphold this ministry. And don't be trying to blame me for every crazy thing. Because half stuff going around here, I try to act like I don't know anything about it. That choir stuff, I don't come to choir rehearsal. I have no idea what y'all do till y'all get up here and sing. And based on the quality of your singing, I think you had a good rehearsal. Based on the fact y'all miss a note or two, I figure you had a good rehearsal. When I look up there and don't see all 20 of y'all, I figure somebody must be dealing with something. Listen, I'm not around here trying to put my finger on everything. I'm trying to keep my hands in my pocket so I can plead the fifth. I have no idea. Why she shot her. Reverend, did you? No, I didn't. I didn't even know we had a room in our church look like that. You know, the reality of it is, he said, we got to work at this. Now watch this. Watch this. He says, in everything. That means, don't tell me not to be concerned about your marriage. Don't tell me not to be concerned about your children. Don't tell me not to worry about what you do on the weekend. In everything you do, you represent kingdom. Ain't no off time for us. We can't take our little robe off and say, okay, I'm done. It doesn't work like that. You're children of God for the rest of your life. You were born to be that. Before you, foundations of the world, before you were even aware, and before your mama knew she was feeling bad one morning. God already knew. God already set your destiny. Before you decided to accept what God had already ordained. Before you were aware of the power and potential that rests in your voice to sing praises unto God, God already knew. And he said, listen, you've got to do everything. All of us have a responsibility. Nudge your neighbor and say, you got a responsibility. He said, we must make sure that we are showing who we are. That we are ministers of God. We represent kingdom. You know, you see the ice cream man, and you say, okay, that's ice cream man. You see the guy at the counter with his McDonald's uniform on, you say he works for McDonald's. You go into, you know, everybody's identified. You can say, okay, yeah. You know, you see people who wear uniforms and what they represent, even when they're off. You can tell that guy works for Toyota. Oh, that guy works for, and you see him, and maybe you got a question. You say, excuse me, I noticed you're wearing a uniform. Can I ask you something? When I was a trooper, that was the worst thing I hated. You can be sitting in the subway trying to eat your lunch, and somebody will walk, and you can see him coming. You be like, come on, please don't. Excuse me, can I ask you a question? And you have to smile because you represent the Commonwealth, and you put your sandwich down and say, yes, ma'am. I'm trying to get to North Carolina, and am I going the right way? Now, to me, I'm thinking you just got off 85 South. You'll find it. So I would say, well, yes, ma'am, you are. And they'll tell you, well, I was on 85 and we got off. And oh, yes, ma'am, if you get back on, you go up here and you have to do it. And you say, you make that left and it'll put you back on the interstate. And in 47 miles, you'll be in North Carolina. Thank you so much. And they move on. Then somebody else gets brave because they saw them and say, excuse me, can I ask you? And this is the one that always got me. This trooper gave me a ticket, and I know I wasn't speeding. What should I do? Pay it. I said, go to court and look at him and tell him he's a liar. They look at you, and then they say, I can't do that. Right. I've set him up. When you go to court, tell him he's a liar. Say, Your Honor, this man lied on me. I wasn't going. And then let the judge have your moment. But you represent the Commonwealth. Now, when I wasn't working, I stayed far away from that uniform. And people, I've been in stores, see people steal. I've seen people do stuff. Not working. Got nothing to do with it. One of my friends, he, I used to carry my gun, but I would have it back here and you couldn't see it. And he came in Walmart one day with his gun on. I said, Lauren, what is your problem? What do you mean? I said, you just looking for trouble. I said, man, if something go down, you the first one they going to kill. It's called off duty for a reason. He's like, ah, man, I said, okay, keep going like that. Not me. Now, on occasion, when things got bad, I have helped people because I had the advantage. They didn't know who I was. And it works out. But my point is, you don't get to take off no uniform. You don't have no change of clothes. You are always in the eyes of God. He said, nobody may not know who you are coming out the ABC store. And I don't have, listen, let me tell you something now. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I don't have no problem with you if you want to consume alcohol. It's legal. I ain't found a verse in the scripture yet that said if you drink, you're not going to heaven. That's not the problem. Now, if you get drunk and you kill somebody, you got a problem. Or if you drink and you get stupid and go home and beat up your wife and treat your kids bad, you got a problem. You should not be consuming nothing of any kind. I ain't found a verse for that one either, but I don't. It's not something I do, but I'm not going to beat it. The Bible said, listen, we got to be all things to all men. And the Bible says we can't condemn a person because of what they eat or what they drink. It's in the scripture. He said, listen, if your friend eats meat and you don't, that's not a reason to go, we can't talk to each other. We can't go to your church. That's crazy. That may be the way you get your conversation going. Well, tell me about this vegetarian life. Rather than going, are you crazy, man, all the meat. So he said, listen, we're ministers of God in everything we do. In what we do in the classroom, in what we do in the factory, in what we do at J. Crew or the spot. And he said, we're ministers of God. And listen, it don't mean you need a license to preach. Hear me well. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. But you're ministers of God in the drill sergeant uniform. You're a minister of God. And he said, then everything we do, think about how your life would be of so much more value to you if you lived this principle. I kind of like being the pastor. There's some privileges and stuff happens when people say, excuse me, you're a preacher. And they say, oh, well, don't go. You know, that's wonderful. But it's also a responsibility. Because people have a right to say, ain't that something? They're supposed to be the church. Ain't no need you get mad when people catch you like that. Just do better. It is a shame when the church does not lift up and magnify the name of Jesus. That's our responsibility. And the Bible says, don't let your works be found undone. So we have to remember in everything we do, tell your neighbor, everything is everything. Don't get the clock out. You know, hit the bottom step. Sure, okay, let's break it off now. No. And listen, and again, enjoy your life. Go to Las Vegas. Go to Cancun. Go wherever you want to go. But in everything, we must try hard to represent. Okay? Now watch this. How am I doing? I'm doing good. He says, I like this. All right, verse 5. He said, we've been beaten, put in jail, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion. Amen. Endured sleepless nights, gone without food. But watch this. We have proved ourselves. See, that's what you got to do. You know what he's saying? When hardship comes, that don't mean God don't love you no more. That don't mean I must be in the wrong church. That don't mean you're doing anything wrong. He said that happens. He said, but you know what we've done? We've proved ourselves by how we live. We kept it right for God. He said, by our purity. And purity is not perfection. Purity is a process whereby we make every effort to stay away from impurity. Why? Because we live in this world, but we're not of this world. So in order to do purity, you got to screen some things and walk away from some things. He said, so we've tried to do that. It's been our effort. He said, in what things? He said, listen, in our sleeplessness, in our enduring, in our hardship. He said, we have proved ourselves. Don't you ever again think that you don't have to prove yourself. Even the Bible said that a good workman proves itself. I ain't got to prove nothing to you. You need to prove that you're a good Christian, a good choir disciple, a good deacon, a good minister. You need to prove it. Don't be sitting back thinking it's just automatic. He said, no matter what happened to me, when I fell on my face, when my money was gone, I lost my job, the car broke down. He said, I worked hard to prove myself in my purity. I did not do what other folk did. When they asked me to take the payroll up to the main office because my bills were short, I didn't take nothing out of that envelope. When my boss let me lock up, I didn't steal half of the store away and put it in my car. I was hungry, but I didn't steal no food. Amen. I did everything I knew how to do. And let me tell you what's wonderful about being in the body of Christ. There are those who will help you. I just gave it to you. But you got to let them help you. And see, that's why the Bible does say, you know, make your confessions to each other, talk to each other. If you're struggling with something, say, look, man, can I talk to you? And please don't talk to everybody. You really need to try the spirits by the spirits on this one. But if you need help, say, listen, can I talk to you for a minute? And make your opening argument, look, I trust you in this. And this is sensitive, but I really need to talk to somebody. Now, who's the first person we need to talk to? The Lord. But every now and then, let's be honest, we need a human touch. So when you do that, he said, can you help me? Because I'm struggling. You know, my marriage is in trouble. And I notice you and your wife seem to get along so well. My kids are just crazy. And I notice your children are so disciplined. You know, I notice that you don't seem to be frustrated, but I can't keep up. You know, those are conversations that in the family of fellowship, we can have with each other. Why? Because the church is a house where everything can get fixed. Everything. That's why the Lord said, bring it to me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest is a good thing. And labor don't mean we going, No, labor sometimes is marriage. Labor is a job. Labor is a concern. And God said, come here. Come here. Come here. Put that down and talk to me. What I love about talking to God is while you're in there, whatever it is, he makes you take that off for a minute. And that's a respite. You can sit and go, sure, okay. Yeah, Lord. And that's why we want to stay a while, because as long as I got this on my shoulder, I think I'll just stay in here. He said, okay, sit right there. You okay? Stay with me. I got it. He said, take my yoke because it's easy. That's how God doesn't want you to walk around like this. God wants you to be able to jump and run. That's why he says you can lift up your head and be ye lifted up. Because the King of Glory, listen, if you look at any movie illustration, when the king comes in, ain't nobody sitting there going, they going, yay. They feel good about the king. Because the king is here, you know, and they know some festivities going to take place. That's why when the King of Glory comes in, lift up your heads, lift up your gates, give thanks unto the, because the king, he don't want you walking around going, hey, oh Jesus. That's why worship is critical and praise is critical. We don't have to wait on the music. We got our minds fixed on the Lord. And don't you ever be ashamed of feeling that praise and anybody you thinking about him. I don't know what the rest of y'all got on y'all mind, but I love to praise him. Amen. So he said, listen, this is what God will do. Watch this. He says, and we have proved ourselves by purity. Now watch this. Our understanding. What does that mean? We've learned. Here it is. Watch this one. I love this one. Our patience. Sometimes you got to just wait. Everybody ain't on the same schedule. Just got to be patient. Yes, ma'am.
You just answered it. Just keep saying that. Just keep telling them that. You know, I know how you're feeling about this. One of the things I do, and this is, I made a joke with y'all last week, and Susan came in and immediately got to my door to my, I don't want to hear you. You know, but when you all come to me, I listen to you, and I keep telling myself, what if I was sitting in that chair? What if what's happening to him or her was happening to me? What would I want my pastor to say? More than anything, I always say, what would God say? And sometimes you have to be a little judgmental to bring the issue out. You have to say, you know what? You're living raggedy as a mango seed. But you have to keep pushing the love piece, though. You have to make sure you never stray away from love. Because initially, and this is one of the things they taught us at conference, there's a conflict there. Something's wrong here. And if we try to shadow as if there's nothing wrong, we ain't fixing nothing. So we have to say, okay, the reason I'm sitting here talking to you is because I have observed the following, or this is happening, or I feel this kind of way. Marriages, this is always hard in marriages because we got to keep living with each other, at least until they divide the property up equally. And when something is really, when it comes to the point that I really think I can help you or I got to help you, it's going to be a little judgment to it. But you have to remember that love covers it all. And you have to say, you know what, I love you too much to let you live like this. And they may not receive that initially. I'm going to tell you something now. All of us can admit that at one time or another, somebody ticked us off. And when we got down the hall and around the corner and sit down, we went, but they right. Now, pride says, don't go back and tell them. Stay picked off a minute. But the reality is, I love you. And love don't always mean you got to do it with sugar. Sometimes you got to put a little heat to it. Because otherwise, you know, they had them series some years ago about tough love. But Jesus does tough love too. You know, when they said Lazarus is sick and you need, Jesus said, I'm working on something right now. And they looked at Jesus and probably said, well, ain't there something I thought he could? That's how it is sometimes. But the reality for us is, sit in the chair. I think that for me, one of the hardest things for me, and this is like, I'm going to expose myself a little bit, but y'all can't take advantage of it because I know you know now, I'll defend. One of the hardest things for me is not to have y'all love me. And I can feel it, especially when I start to feel it. Because you used to hug me or you used to say stuff to me, and now you're not. Used to come hang around, and now you know. And that bothers me, but I can't stop. But it sure does something to me. That's one of the hardest, for me as a pastor, because I really consider myself, and I've been told this by people, that I'm a people person, and I love people, and I really do. So one of the hardest things for me is not the fact that we don't have enough in the tithe till, or that we're not really growing as fast as I think. One of the hardest things for me is to not have you love me. Especially when I think you stop loving me because I'm being your pastor. Because I'm telling you stuff. Now you're mad because I'm telling you stuff. And now you want to act funny. That bothers me because I like the cakes. I like doing the barbecue recipes. I like being invited to a little, you know, I mean, because my life is always this. When I get a phone call in the middle of the week from one of the trustees about money, My life starts going, when I get a phone call about somebody got an attitude, and unless somebody kind of goes, pull up, I tend to kind of get almost, I've learned how to do it myself. But the reality for me is, love cannot go off the scene. So when it's hard, get yourself ready to do what's hard. But don't let what's hard cause division that becomes permanent. That's why Jesus talks about go to your brother. Because sometimes the art is because we're trying to help you. And when we know you ticked off, and you know, you can't, listen, you guys and gals that are married and got friends and cousins and kinfolk, you know when somebody got this thing. You be like, hey, good morning. I mean, you know what that is. Because you know just 2 days ago, I sit you down and read you. Now you mad at me because I told you the truth. So you have to go sit by him and say, oh, so you're going to act like that? Gone now. He said, no, I ain't going nowhere. So what, how long is this going to go on? You better leave me alone. Okay. Be that way.
But you have to keep loving. And I'm going to tell you something. The greatest of all of them is love. I cannot love you if I let you kill your fool self in some foolish behavior or keep some crazy mindset. You know, it matters. And that's why he said, listen, in everything, we got to prove ourselves and be the minister. The minister is not the pastor. The ministers are you. All of you have this ministry. And he said, listen, we've endured some stuff. And patience comes in. Because when people are jacked up, you got to be patient. But you got to remember, you were jacked up one time. And you might have jacked up on your agenda next year or 6 months from now. Because you do know that we are very wavery sometimes. Listen, we can be having a good year and something happens and we get flaky. Because you know when we get there, we're there until we want to leave. I'm feeling some kind of way about it. You just leave me alone. Just let me work it out. Okay. But I ain't going to let you stay there forever. Now, come on now. You're going to have to come up out of that. Because we need you to get back out there. Can you imagine what would happen if Peter had not been restored? Jesus said, listen, y'all go love him. If John had not been given an opportunity, I mean, I'm telling you now, this is the love of God that y'all better never forget. If Judas had turned around and walked back in that room, they would have said, welcome back, Judas, with your snake cell. Somebody would have had to throw that part in there. But he would have took him. That's why you can't be kicking folk to the curb. Listen, we took you back. We let you sing again. We let you preach again. We let you lead a service again. We let you get your class back. We were praying for you. Even when you were hating on your own, we were praying that you and your own would get back together because we did it right. And we were patient. We endured some things. He said, and one of the things that the church must never forget, and I said it to you earlier, God is watching. It's hard sometimes to be the leader in your family, on your job, as sisters. One of y'all, I mean, you may be the oldest, but you may be the leader. Jasmine said, no, it's not happening. Even in a marriage, I've seen this in marriages for years. The Bible said that the man is what? The head of the household. I've seen marriages that work seemingly best because the woman is just that much stronger. And the brother kind of said, you know what, Reverend? I'm all right with that because she's taking care of me. I've seen families where the woman makes more money and the man can't stand it and the marriage falls apart. Because he got a pride issue because his boys own him. Man, your wife. Okay, let me tell you something. I have never had a problem with who got money. I don't care who got it. As long as somebody got it. Amen. All day, amen. I wish my wife did make $150,000 a year. You think I'm going to be mad? Only way I'm going to be mad is she cut my allowance. She make that paper, baby. I don't care if she can be the CEO and I can work in the mail room. They be like, is that your wife upstairs? Y'all got the same. Yep. And how you feel down here? Feeling good. Because the bank got two names on it. I ain't kidding. No. Amen. Watch this. Okay, a little bit more. He says, and this is critical. Here's the critical part, and I'll be done. He says, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. See here? Hear me well. It ain't you. It ain't because you go to GBC or any other church. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, which is universal. He said, our sincerity, our patience, our purity, the ability to endure, the reason I put up with you, the reason I did what I did, the reason I say what I said, is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason I got up this morning, and the old song we sing, when I rode this morning, I didn't have no doubt. It's because of the Holy Spirit. The reason we keep putting up with what we put up with and trying to do what we do ain't because we got this bright, churchy idea. Ain't because we sat down in some strategic meeting and came up with a church strategy for 2013. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason. It ain't got nothing to do with how smart you really are, because you ain't that smart anyway. All of us need somebody smarter to help us be smart. Even spiritually. My ministry is enhanced because I know people like Jeffrey Reeves or Dr. Swan. I'd be a fool to hate on them. I'm a gleam. Take all I can take and preach what they preach when they ain't around and say it was mine. Because all of us are plagiarists in this preaching game. All of us stealing from somebody. And it's a good steal. I have a lot of people, a lot of my brothers, my colleagues, they impress and say, man, send me your Bible study stuff. Because I like to do my own stuff. God gave me that so I can do it. You know, and if I'm going to show you something, just be cool for a minute. You know, Melvin is always my witness guy. Let's say what? 2 Corinthians. Okay. I ain't got to none of that yet. That's all I did right there. The rest of it in here and in here. And I work on it like that because I want you to have something for us. I don't pastor every church. I pastor this church. And I know there's people. So the reality is, he said, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what's cool. All of us can use that. Every trustee, every deacon, every minister. That's why we are what we are. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And because you're just so wonderful. And so, listen, sometimes you ain't all that wonderful. Sometimes you are a real motor scooter. And that's just the reality of life. I bet you we went to Deacon McKenzie's job and they're having a critical moment down there or some kind of crisis is going on. His voice may be up. I've never heard him, in all the years, I've never heard Deacon McKenzie speak above a whisper. I've never seen him slam his fists. I've never seen him throw his hands up in the air and wave them like he just don't care. He's always been that guy. But I bet you if you go to Danville and something's happening, or if you show up at his house and something happening, Cameron or Darren and did something crazy, you may hear him before you get out the car. And you may say, is that Deacon McKenzie? No, you may just go, is that Starling? I'm telling you, all of us can have the moments. But we are what we are, and we do what we do, and we strive like we strive because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And there has to be an appreciation for who you are in Him that is greater than you appreciating who you are for Him. Yeah. They understood that. The apostles understood that. They understood that were it not for Jesus, we're done. We'd be out there fishing and drawing empty nets. But it's because, and we have an appreciation that He called us. You know, that's why He said, listen, we have an owingness to God because He trusted us with this. Not because I came to God and said, you know, I think I'll make a good minister for you. Put me on the team. He said, okay, but understand me well. The power of the Holy Spirit has not diminished in 2013. Has not diminished because we can't fill up every pew. Has not diminished because we don't have what some other church might have. Are we not as big as the other church might be? The power of the Holy Spirit is the power of the Holy Spirit. No matter how you slice it. No matter what name you put on the ministry or what tag you give it. We can call it the food ministry or the bread of life ministry. But it don't matter. It's still the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether we pray well, read well, or can fire up the church, it's still the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether we sing like Mahalia or Yolanda, or we just do our own thing, it's still going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we hang in there. And anything other than that, we're violating the first part of the text, and some of you weren't here yet, but it opened by saying, we are God's partners. ain't one drill sergeant going to carry the whole army. There's a partnership of drill instructors. There's a partnership of corporate people. There's a partnership of ministers. There's a partnership of colleagues. There's a partnership of employees. There's, none of this stuff can you do by yourself. None of it. You can't be a good wife by yourself. Your mama taught you something. Your auntie taught you something. Your granny taught you something. All of us are partners. And the best thing we can do is make our chief partner Jesus the Christ. Because if God be first, everything else will last. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll add all those wonderful things. And he said that your father already knows you have need of them. You sit here complaining to God about what you don't have yet. Don't ever forget there's a yet and there's a wait for all of us. Amen. Have I helped you a little bit?